This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining me. This is the first time I've done a broadcast here in the U.S. since, I think, early January. On January 11th, I left for England, and then I was scheduled to be in England and Europe until February 20th. So it was a trip of speaking in churches and other locations. I spoke in Finland, gave the Sunday morning message in a church there. I also spoke to a youth group there and a men's group there. Went to England, where I gave a From Porn to Grace conference on Saturday, January 25th. And then in between that, we're going to be releasing our new video series coming out soon. I was working on that too. The last four shows were recorded in England, and that was a kick at Monkey Nut Studios. And I had everything planned out until February 1st when I left. And normally when I go on a trip, as you can imagine, you know, we like to have everything lined up, all of our hotels. We want to know what we're doing and where we're going to be. And I had nothing planned after the end of January. I had a number of options. I assumed I was going to be doing some things with the promotion of the video series, but my schedule from February 1st to the 20th was wide open. And I soak these trips in prayer. We soak these trips in prayer. And I just felt like that's what God, the way He wanted it to work out. And sometimes God doesn't give us the plan. He may just give us a few pieces, or He may give us the next step. But we who are Christ followers are supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. And a critical part of that is being able to, in prayer, discern God's voice, hear what He's saying, and get it confirmed. Because I don't run with every whim and every thought that goes to my mind. So sometimes something will be looking like I'm supposed to go in a certain direction. I'll just start praying, God, is this really You? Or is this my mind? Or is this something else? Is this really the direction You want to take? And sometimes that confirmation process can take a day or two. Some years ago, I had a guy ask me, what are your plans for Blazing Grace? And I just looked at him and he said, what are your plans for Blazing Grace this year? And I looked at him and said, to try and walk with God and follow with what He wants to do. And he gave me a blank look. He didn't know what to do with that, because here in America, what we're all about, our plans, our programs, our structures, and then maybe we'll bring God into that or ask Him to bless it. But that's not what happened, especially if you look at the early church. Sometimes they were given the next step, one step at a time. And that's what He did with me. And then while I was there, after I had left on January 11th, out of nowhere, I get an invitation to speak at a U.S. military base in Naples on February 1st, which had been wide open. And so I took it and spoke at the military base there that weekend. And then the day after, I spoke at a church in Italy that was very near to the military base, because it turned out that a couple of the guys who attended the all-day conference that I led on February 1st, that Saturday, were elders of a church. So they had invited me to do a Q&A at their Sunday morning service, so I did that too. So here God's putting the pieces together. And one step at a time, one day at a time. And then the weekend after that, again, nothing planned. So the church that I gave the conference to in England, Church of the Holy Spirit in Aylesbury, the pastor and his wife talked about it, invited me to come give their Sunday morning message the following weekend. And so I ended up doing that, and it was a wonderful time. And throughout the whole trip, there was a ton of spiritual warfare. And usually what I'm going to do before I give a Sunday morning message or any message is, you know, there's time in prayer. God, what do you want to do? What do you want me to speak on? And they had two meetings on their Sunday morning. The first is like a Holy Communion service. And so I had up to 20 minutes to talk, and I felt like God was wanting me to speak on spiritual warfare. So that's what I went with. I talked about spiritual warfare, and I was getting hit all morning up until the time, including the time I was in church, with all sorts of doubts and attacks and other ways. And of course, the enemy doesn't want us talking about spiritual warfare in our churches. He doesn't want us equipping people in this area, which I hate to say it, but you know, a lot of churches are not doing this. And when I was in Finland, Aura Elliott, who I interviewed a couple weeks ago, shared with me when I was in Finland that she had heard maybe one message on spiritual warfare in the past 25 years. I mean, this is insane. So, and whenever I speak, I speak at a church, I talk just like I do here on the radio. Very straightforward. I don't coddle the issues. I go right for the throat and encourage, but also challenge at the same time, that we cannot play games at this time. We cannot play games with God. We can't dabble in God, having a little touch of God on Sunday and then having a big dose of the world and pleasure and entertainment for the rest of the week does not work, especially during these days that are so dark. So then I gave the Sunday morning message. And I love that church, maybe 100 members. And I was talking with the senior pastor, and he told me he wished his church could be more like an American church. And I said, why? He said, because you have so many people coming to your churches over there attending. I told him, you don't want to be like that, because we have a lot of people who are nominal over here, and a lot of the churches that we've visited, they have a real screaming loud rock concert worship time, and you can't even hear yourself sing. And a lot of times when I happen to be in a church doing that, I don't feel like I'm worshiping. I think I'm just, it's just too loud, and then there's no time really for prayer. And in his church, they had some time for prayer in between the worship time and the message, and their worship band was very subdued. It wasn't loud at all. You could hear people singing next to you, and there was more worship. There was more passion that I was seeing over there. So I loved every minute. I would much rather be going to a small church than a big one, and any day of the week. And sometimes I think, boy, I would like to start a small church here in Arizona that was devoted to prayer and fellowship and teaching. That goes through my mind quite a bit. Thing is, finding people who want to go there, because as I found when I tried to do a church plant in Colorado about 7 years ago, a lot of people don't want that. They just want to sit, watch the show, and leave and be done with it. And that's not the model we're giving in the early church, in the New Testament, for the way church is supposed to work. So the Troop was a blessing, a lot of warfare, pretty much day in and day out. I went alone this time, and I did have some concerns about knowing it's going to be harder to do a long trip like this. But I felt like God, he put all the pieces together to where I was meant to go along, which taught me a lot more about leaning harder on him and trusting him. And so there'd be times when I would have a little pang of loneliness, and I wouldn't sit there and dwell on it or throw myself down that pit. Once we start down that slope of pity and feeling sorry for myself and, oh, woe is me, I'm alone, we just cycle right down in despair. And I didn't want anything to do with that because I know that where that could go. So as soon as I would start feeling a little bit alone, I just start praying and saying, God, you are with me. You have promised you will never leave me nor forsake me. I am not alone. You are here. You are here in the whole trip. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Would you strengthen me now? Would you strengthen my emotions? So I would pray through any time something like that started coming up. And I know that there must be plenty of you who are listening who go through periods of loneliness. And sometimes, just because we're married, I know the way it works. You can be married and be very lonely when things aren't functioning right, when there's a big gap or when there's distance for whatever reason. I mean, you can be very lonely in a crowd. And so we can always have Jesus we can turn to. This is not just some kind of religious thing. It's real. Either God is real and alive and powerful, or we're all just playing Christian games. And he is real and alive and powerful, and he is near, and he is with us. And those of us who know him are given the Holy Spirit. Do you know how powerful and amazing that is, to have the Spirit of the living God inside of you? But I think a lot of people forget that. And there's so much blessing that comes from knowing that he is with us no matter what, no matter how tough it gets, how rough the spiritual warfare is, how rough our marriage and family is, we are never alone. And I had plenty of downtime over there, sometimes waiting between meetings, you know, a couple days at a stretch, and, you know, digging in with prayer. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. I'm dead without prayer. And I think we need to hear that more. We are dead without prayer. Why aren't we having more prayer meetings? And they did. They do have prayer meetings at Church of the Holy Spirit. That's another reason. And they had intercessors praying for the conference that I led there. I love that. We need that so desperately. So I want to park for a moment on the U.S. military and talk about porn in the military. So when I went there and I was talking to the guy who invited me there, he told me that porn is widespread in the military. There are a lot of couples and families going through it and suffering, but like anything else, it here or anywhere, you know, getting people to come up and share that they're struggling and hurting, there's a lot of walls there, and plus there's spiritual warfare on top of that. And he told me that the chaplain needed to approve the conference for them to promote it throughout the military base. Chaplain didn't sign off on it, so they had to get it out by word of mouth. So there wasn't a large attendance, but I really don't care. I've learned a long time ago that whoever God gives me, whether it's 10 or 100, that's what he's going to give me, and I'm going to pour myself into them regardless of the number. And we get caught up in the numbers like that determines our success. No, it does not. What determines our success is, are we walking with God, listening to him, aligning our will to him, aligning our lives to him, and then pouring ourselves into the open doors he gives us, no matter whether it's 1 or what 10 or whatever the number is. So from that, they invited me to come back and lead a men's retreat in the fall. And now they're going to try again. They just got a new chaplain in the base there. And by the way, there's 8,000 military members' families there in that base. We're not talking about a small base here. So this is a door open. God opened up right as I was on the trip. And so let's talk about porn in the military. Pornography is illegal in the military. I'm just going to read here. Pornography or possession or distribution of pornography on military computers or networks is considered a violation of military regulations and federal law. The penalties for such conduct can vary depending on the circumstances of the offense and the level of severity. I don't know if you remember Kyle, my mind blank, the guy who was the American sniper. He had like 160 kills in the Iraq War, the second Iraq War, or when he was over there. I read his book, his story, and he talked about porn being widely available there on the base where they were in Iraq. And I've counseled with people who have come to us for help who have been in the military, and they tell me it's just all over. And so the U.S. military has a total force of around 2.8 million members. That's not a good word, but all those who are involved with it, including civilian workers. So 2.8 million. And this is a quote from the Navy Times from Coast Guard Attorney and Commander Joe Coito. And he's quoted as saying, porn conception in America has reached pandemic proportions due to its anytime availability, citing studies showing that 64% of people between 13 and 24 actively seek out pornography on a weekly basis. And then he writes, military therapists and chaplains now hear with alarming regularity from concerned military personnel that have become addicted to viewing pornography. And then this next one is from a Proven Ministries 2021 article where they did some research. And they write, research shows that at least 20% of service members struggle with porn addiction. A quick survey on Military Times pulls up over 200 articles about cases of child porn convictions and revenge porn scandals. This is in the military. No branch, rank, or position is exempt from this. And they quoted an admiral, a news story from an admiral who got busted for this. So 20% of service members, do the math, 20% of 2.8 million is 560,000 who need help in this area in the U.S. military, and not including family members. And the other thing you got to remember is, okay, how are they defining porn addiction? So if you're watching porn once a month, I went from binging on porn once and twice a day years ago to looking at it once a month. I was still addicted. It wasn't something I could walk away from. I was just as addicted once a month as I was once a day. It's just that the frequency wasn't intense. But I still couldn't walk away from it. So sometimes we play games with, well, are you addicted to porn? Well, no, I'm only looking at it once or twice a month. Well, if you're doing that every single month all the time, then it's got ground in your life. So this 20% number is, I would assume, much higher than that. Plus, I don't know who did the survey here, but knowing that it's illegal in the military, I would think there's going to be a lot of people who aren't going to say, hey, yeah, this is my problem. So this is a door that is open for us from this trip. And so now in Naples, they're going to go back to the new chaplain and see if they can get permission for a conference, maybe in May or June. They're on base. And when they get permission, like I mentioned, then they can promote it throughout the entire base. I see this as a wonderful mission field, and that could lead to other avenues if God opens that door further. But you got to realize, none of this is always going to be easy. So Always remember the spiritual battle. Always remember spiritual warfare. I do conferences. When I do conferences or speak in churches and places, oftentimes the people who host me, they get wailed on hard for the week or two leading up to it. Martin Kurt and Anna, his wife, the minister or the pastor of Church of the Holy Spirit, told me that their family got hit hard with spiritual warfare in the week leading up to the conference. So this is an intense spiritual battle, and the enemy does not want this stuff opened up anywhere. He doesn't want it opened up in your church. He doesn't want it opened up in any church. He wants it kept quiet. I'm sure he's quite satisfied if we just park on simple, easy, comfortable, soft messages. You know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And when I was out on this trip, I was hearing the same complaints I hear in the U.S. There's got to be more than this to church and the Christian life, and people are not being equipped. And one guy told me that a lot of the messages they hear on Sunday morning are just soft. There's no zing to them. There's no equipping. I asked him about spiritual warfare. Do you feel like your church has equipped you? And he looked at me, no. Do they bring this topic up? No, not very much or not at all. And so when I spoke at that church, I brought it out, man, because we're blowing it by not talking about these issues and equipping people today. And my friends, every single day, there continues to be news articles here in the U.S. where a pastor or a ministry leader or somebody leading some kind of ministry organization is exposed or arrested for pornography, including child pornography or sexual abuse, or they molested a minor. Those news articles continue to flow. They're not stopping. And the porn epidemic in America and in the church has not stopped. And one reason that I do this broadcast is because, man, the days of playing chicken, the days of playing ostrich and stuffing our head in that sand, those days got to be over. Today, 10 years ago, actually, we can't just sit there and watch people's lives get destroyed because we're too what? Afraid to talk about sex? You can't justify that when you read the scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all through God's book. And in fact, we were talking about this in Europe, and one guy brought out, I think it was, who was it? Was it Judah's sons? How one of them died, and they were supposed to take over and bear children for his son's wife or something like that, and he spilled his seed on the ground. And so the Bible gets pretty detailed about this stuff. So, you know, and then Rahab, who was a prostitute, was the only one who survived in Jericho. David's family, rape and incest. It's all there throughout Scripture. We have no out. We have no out with God to say, God, sorry, I only do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, and, well, you know, on our schedule, it's going to be another 4 years before I can touch this. And you can't justify that, especially when Jesus busted two out of the seven churches in Revelation for not dealing with sexual issues. This stuff is here, now, today. And we're playing pussyfoot games around it. So I want to challenge all of you. Every church, this is not going away. There are lives being destroyed in your midst. Marriages and families are at risk. And I want to ask you for prayer. We need prayer. I need prayer. I'm going into my fourth year with long COVID now. And all that involves with shortness of breath and everything else and the fatigue and the weakness. But I've asked God, please let me pour my life out to the end. And I think that's the mentality that we need. Like, no more holding back. Let's make our lives count for eternity. Let's be a part of God's work to set captives free, not just give them calm, placid Bible studies, but let's set each other on fire and make sure we're in prayer meetings. So thank you, my friends, and we'll talk to you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.